Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oh, hello there. It's another rehearsal this week, again from the Warwick Arts Centre, but with Caroline Quentin from Off of Men Behaving Badly. So welcome to the show. I hope you will enjoy it. Go to gofasterstripe.com and you can buy a variety of DVDs and books from me and other comedians that I think you will enjoy. Why not check them out? A few little things that will help us with the podcast, like badges and trump card games and emergency questions books. All your money from these will go to make more podcasts. We need your money. Thank you very much. And come and see me live. Go to richherring.com/gigs or rahelastapa.co.uk. You can also become a member and get all those exclusive behind-the-scenes videos, advance warning of who the guests are going to be, emails, a badge, a little membership pack. It's wonderful. You'll love it. Loads more. Just for a little tiny payment every month that helps us make more of these. Anyway, sit back, relax, and enjoy Rehearsal with Caroline Quentin.
Hello, it's very dark back here. I couldn't find the microphone. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Coventry Warwick Arts Centre. We're back again for another week. And you can tell it's a different week because the man presenting it isn't wearing the same clothes. It's Richard Herring. How could I be wearing different clothes? Explain that. It's not possible. So there we go. It was very hot last week, wasn't it? Welcome to Richard Herring's Loquacious Sexist Talking Podcast. It's new direction for the podcast. I'm getting very talkative sexist. I mean, are there any other kind on? Of all sexists, we're not sexist on this podcast. We'll have sexist women, though there have been only sexist men so far on it. They'll be talking about why their sex is better than all the other sexes in a derogatory and in an ill-informed manner. Hope you'll enjoy that. If I brought this out 5 years ago, it would have been a massive success. But now, for some reason, people don't like it so much. But I was hanging out at the Lady Godiva Clock in all the way over in Coventry, not in Warwick like we are now. And Peeping Tom appeared out of a little window at the top. Sure, I approved of the way he'd been depicted. And he says he calls it Rehelastapa, so I don't know if that's going to... John, Peeping Tom, of course, is the most famous resident of Coventry, renowned He was the guy who Lady Godiva rode through Coventry on a horse with no clothes on as a protest of some kind. Yeah, like when... I can't think of her name. It's like, what's her face? Went on the Houses of Parliament. What's her name? Gail Porter. It's the same as Gail Porter going on the House of Parliament. I won't ad-lib anymore. It'll ruin what I'm doing. It was a protest, but Peeping Tommy looked, didn't he? He had a little peep. No one else did. Peeping Tom had a look. And he's the most, out of all this history of people in Coventry, he's the least criminal person. He's just he's just slightly a sex pest. And that is why he is venerated by everyone in Coventry. I have been on holiday. It was a while ago now, so I was back last week. And it's fine. It was difficult being on holiday with the kids. Last morning, we were watching the Teletubbies at 6 o'clock in the morning with my 6:30 with my daughter, and she said to me, "What animals are the Teletubbies? What species of animal are they?" She wanted to know, which is, I thought was kind of a heart. It sort of broke my eyes, like crying at that question, because it's sort of like so innocent and but so it's a very difficult question to answer. I'm going to make it a new emergency question. What animals are the Teletubbies? But it's sort of so innocent because it sort of implies they're real. I had to go, well, they're just Teletubbies. That's the species of animal they are. But it was sort of the innocence within that question, but also the perception to ask it. It was the juxtaposition of those two things that literally made me cry. So sad, isn't it, that we have to grow up and realise the world that the Teletubbies aren't actually animals. My son, though, we were at a shop buying some milk, and my son stole a pack of fruit pastels. So I'm very proud of him. He got them out. We didn't notice them until we were outside. And I shoplift sweets all the time, so I'm glad. But it's wrong to take fruit pastels because they're a reasonable price. So I took them back into the shop, and the woman couldn't believe what I'd done. So that just shows. I said, "We didn't notice." I said, "I know, but they're yours." So I didn't take them. Maybe she just knows I'm a shoplifter. And he also, he wanted to go down to the beach. He was really insistent I didn't want to go. And he went down there, and there's a little stream, and he started taking all the stones out of the stream and putting them along the edge of the stream. Now, I've never talked to him about stone clearing. I don't think he'd understand if I... That's just innate. That is instinct. It's good to see it. So, of course, Coventry. There's some other Coventry jokes for you. If you're sent to Coventry, that means people are ostracising you, doesn't it? That comes from, apparently, from the Civil War. Royalist prisoners were sent to Coventry, which is a parliamentary stronghold. But the phrase has stuck because Coventry has continued to be shit. Good. So, my guest this week... You will be here, and a lot of people have come because of this, because she is best known as Brenda in Dream Stuffing. Which I'm very excited about, in fact. She's also Norman's wife in Hale and Pace, of course. Let's not forget that. Will you please welcome Caroline Quentin?
Thank you very much. Very nice to hear that little blast from the past.
Do you remember Dream Stuffing?
I really do remember Dream Stuffing. I thought it was a very, very good sitcom.
Me too.
Yeah, I think we only did one series, maybe.
I think there might have even been two, I think they repeated. I remember it, and I actually thought, when I thought back to it, I thought, this was when I was in London. It was actually when I was still at school, 1985
or 84.
Yeah,
all right, don't rub it in.
It was on late night on Channel 4.
Yeah, it was quite rude.
It was rude.
Yeah.
And I remember the opening song completely. Ooh. But it was actually, I've only found out today, it was a Kirsty MacColl song. I can sing it to you now.
Go on.
Woke up this morning, but I don't know what for, with the final reminder coming through the door. The house is a mess, the situation's dire. Now the kettle's boiling and the toast's on fire. Don't want to end up being somebody's wife. I just want to have some action in my life. Everybody seems to get me down, but you and me, but you and me, we really get along. Yeah.
Not so much a song, more a sort of
for London
rant.
Girls. Come on, it's a great song.
It is. I love Kirsty MacColl. I can't believe I've done a show with her singing theme tune.
I don't know if she sang it, but it's her song. And it was about
two girls living in a flat. Yeah, they did something similar a few years later, and I was in that as well.
What was Brenda's part in? Do you remember?
Yeah, she was there, a neighbour, I think, who was pregnant pretty much all the time.
Right.
I think. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I can't remember much else about it. It was a very long time ago.
It How was it being Norman Hale's wife in Hale and Pace?
It was
Norman
great. Pace's wife. Really good. Really fun. I can't remember much about that either, but I think it was a really good time. Most of it's been fun.
I've played poker with Norman. He's a nice guy. So, let's get on
Can
to...
Can you open that for me?
Of course, we should have opened it for
him. No, it's all right. Just can't do it with one hand.
Well...
I know you can. I heard the earlier bit of chat. Thanks very much.
Well, it's lovely to have you here. You've come over from Stratford-upon-Avon.
Yes.
Where you've been working.
I'm at the Royal Shakespeare Company doing a... excuse me while I pour this. Just those listening at home, it's water I'm pouring, nothing else. It's having a wee in a teapot. I'm doing a John Vanbrugh play at the Swan Theatre at Stratford-upon-Avon.
With a couple of people who've been on the podcast before, Les Dennis.
Lovely Les Dennis.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I'd love you to tell me he's a horrible prick in real life, because he came
across
very well.
I'll tell you, he's an absolute arsehole.
Okay, good.
He isn't, but I'm going to tell you it just to make you happy. He's delightful.
Rufus Hound, he might be a bit of a dick in real life.
Listen, he's all right.
If you're on a boat with Rufus Hound and Les Dennis and you had to eat one of them...
Eat one
of
them.
To stay alive.
To stay alive.
Yeah, which one would you eat first?
I'd eat Rufus.
Yeah, I think
first, definitely.
But there's a bit more meat on him.
There's more meat on him. He's younger.
Yeah.
So it might be a little more tender. And also he just gets on my nerves more. So he'd be an easy choice.
But we're getting very good reviews for this
Yes,
play.
Gone frightfully well.
Lovely to see. I mean, which I would expect of you as a very fine actress who's won many awards. But it's lovely for Les as well. We were talking about it before he went up and did it. But it's a lovely move for him, I think, isn't
it? I think it's really... it's nice when, you know, people like Les and myself, who are known for doing one sort of thing, kind of meet a new audience doing something entirely different. And... it's kind of fun for some of the audience members as well, who clearly haven't read the programme before they go on, and you hear people going, is that Les Dennis? Is that Les Dennis? And then another woman the other day who left at half time and said, I came to this because Caroline Quentin's in it, but I haven't seen her. I know, because I've got a big red wig on and my face is white because it's a restoration comedy. But I was quite pleased, actually. I thought that meant I've been doing good acting.
Very good. And Rufus, actually, because I was expecting that everyone in the Royal Shakespeare Company would be working on a Friday night as we're recording this, but of course you are in rep.
Yeah, so. I'm in rep with another play called Venice Preserved, which is a John Otway, much, much darker piece. I'm in a sort of comedy, and there's a much darker piece called Venice Preserved that Les is in both of those productions, so he is working tonight.
Yeah.
But I get nights off.
It's pretty good, isn't
so
it?
So I've chosen to be here on my night off.
That's very nice for you to come out.
Who's the mug?
To come from Stratford to Coventry.
Oh, it's not Coventry, I'm in Warwick.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I've got confused. But Rufus has given me a few pointers as to things
dear.
That we should talk about with you. I read an interview with you. You said that. I mean, I think this is.
You've got nervous. What are you about to say
to
me? You've gone all stumpy.
I'm still on holiday in my head.
Yeah,
so it's. I read an interview with you. Said in the first 25 years you worked, you earned £3,000, which can't be correct because you did.
No, a year.
Well, you have £3,000 in a year.
Yeah.
The interview made it sound like you'd... Even so, it's a
You
tiny
can't
moment.
Trust the journalist, but I did. I mean, I was a dancer. I was a hoofer. I worked. Yeah. I was at the end of a pier. For most of my early work, as was Les. You know, we've come here now. It's really nice, actually, look across this. You see a sort of variety performer, because a lot of people in this audience are too young. In fact, most people in this audience are too young to remember. There used to be end-of-the-pier shows, and they would have chorus girls, dancers, wearing sort of feathers on their heads and all that. And then you would have a comedian. And the pay wasn't great, but it was really, really good fun. And I was working in places like Lowestoft, and Les was doing all the working men's clubs and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So... the money was tiny money.
Yeah.
But, you know, in those days, you could have a good night out for sixpence.
You worked with Bernie Clifton in your first show, was that right?
Bernie Clifton was my first summer season at the Sparrow's Nest, and he is adorable.
He is.
And he was brilliant and funny and so clever and a wonderful man. And he wrote to me quite recently. I did a show and he sent me a letter saying, hi, how are you? And it was fantastic because he's one of those... You know, sometimes you get lucky and you just work with really extraordinarily talented people and you're young and you kind of look up to them and they're everything you want them to be. And he wasn't a grumpy old shit of a comic. He was an absolute delight. And he wasn't a lech, and he wasn't any of those things, you know, because let's face it, we all know nowadays that some of those people aren't as pleasant as they appear to be.
But and usually the ones who worked with puppets are the worst as well. So that is so.
Are you suggesting that wasn't a real ostrich? How dare you?
With his legs were outside it, so that doesn't mean.
Yeah, exactly. How would it work? It wasn't real.
No, it's not. Well, because it's true though, because you hear all the bad stories and you don't hear. No one talks about the people who were the good people. And yeah. Bernie still actually does the Edinburgh Fringe.
Yeah, he's brilliant. He's really hilarious. If you get the chance to see him, honestly, he's really funny.
Yeah. So that was Lowestoft.
That was Lowestoft. 16. Yeah, 16 years old.
But you said you did some temp jobs as well. But you,
I did, yeah.
Yeah. So you worked as a dresser.
I got sacked. I did three different jobs. Because basically, the reason I've ended up doing what I'm doing is because I can't do anything else. There's nothing I can do except show off for money. And it's true, honestly, there's nothing else. I'm not qualified to do this, but there's nothing else I'm qualified to do. I was a dresser at Jesus Christ Superstar, and I got sacked quite early on, actually, because I left two priests at the side of the stage waiting to go on with hats, boots and nothing else because I was so busy upstairs flirting with all the actors. And there were two priests really naked about to go on stage and I got sacked from that, and then I got sacked from Securicorps because I know it seems unlikely, but they put me in the accounting bit where if you sell 15 locks or something like that, you know, I think it was locks, chub locks, yeah, then you have to fill in a thing that says 15 locks gone, then you have to go down the thing and say that leaves a total of 20 locks left. Well, I can't do maths. It meant nothing to me at all. So I just used to take these bits of paper and put them behind the filing cabinet. So I'd be act. I mean, I'd act being a very good secretary. I fill that in, la 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 la. Cross that off, straight behind the filing cabinet. And then when my boss found them about, I don't know, 8 weeks later, he said, "You've been really good fun to have here, but you've got to go." Because I found all the invoices. No. So, yeah. So I did lots of things badly. I got sacked for... Yeah, I was a hat check girl. I got sacked for that, for giving the wrong change to someone. And he thought I was trying to steal from him, but he didn't realise I wasn't clever enough. I just had given him the wrong change. Yeah, I got sacked. I've been sacked from loads of things, actually. I was a temp once. Right. And I went in to do a bit of temping, and I'd lied about being able to do typing and shorthand.
Of course.
Oh, they know in me. They know. I hadn't worked it out. They'd know. They put you in front of a typewriter, and you go. And I left that after about 3 hours.
Pretty good. And you were in the original cast of Les Mis.
I was, yeah. I was in the very first company of Les Miserables at the Barbican, and then I think I did about a year then at the Palace Theatre. I was Whores and Nuns.
Right.
Sometimes both together if I got my costume changed slightly mixed up. Yeah. Yeah. That was, you know, I mean, that's a long time ago.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So, I think people would be, obviously you came into public awareness in the 90s more, but you were working as a dancer in Blackpool, places like that as well. Yeah.
I think I started work at 16 doing yes, I mean, basically sort of end of the pier, panto, did a lot of panto. And then obviously the brilliant temping career. And then, what happened then? Oh, I know. I did some fringe work. Do you know The Old Red Lion?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did some, that was the very first plays in London. There's a very now famous fringe theatre, and I did some plays there. And I got, someone was in the audience one night, and I went to do a really very good Nigel Williams play at the Royal Court. I got, taken to do that. So yeah. I did some acting. Which I didn't know I could do, actually. It was brilliant finding out I didn't have to do dancing anymore, because that's really tiring. Honestly, it's so tiring being a dancer. Any of you are thinking about it? I don't think you... No, you're not, are you?
I'm thinking about it now.
Well, honestly, I mean, by all means consider it, but okay. I'm telling you now, it's exhausting.
Is it exhausting as having two kids under four in a little flat in Woolacombe?
Nothing is as tiring as that. I've done that. No, so, yeah, so I was in the original cast of Les Mis. Yeah, I did End of the Pier stuff. I did Royal Court. And then, yeah, then I started to do sort of like costume dramas at the BBC, my first sort of corset work.
Right.
And when I was about, I suppose I was in my 20s, you know, always getting murdered, constantly getting murdered by a Victorian murderer. And then was it then? Well, then was Dream Stuffing, I think.
Right.
And then the one that no, you don't remember it. It was very good. And then Men Behaving Badly came around about that. No, then no. I met Arthur Smith.
Yeah,
actually,
so you met
which is probably when I met you, probably up in Edinburgh, was it?
Yeah, I was up there. I think you met him in 87. I was a student in it. That was my first Edinburgh.
God, you're banging on about that age thing, aren't you?
I am. your birthday's the day before me. I'm the 12th of July and you're the 11th.
Are
of July.
You?
But, you know, you're.
I know, I'm nearly 60, yes, and you're only 52. So I did Edinburgh with Arthur Smith, yeah. Doing Live Bed Show, Evening with Gary Lineker, and those sorts of plays. Good, funny plays.
Yeah.
And then I met the Comedy Store Players and I started to do improv. That's when the real comedy stuff started to happen, I think.
Yeah.
They asked me, because they were looking for women, because they didn't have many women. I think Josie did it and Sandy, but that was about it.
Yeah.
And so I started to do that. I started to do improv at the Comedy Store. I haven't stopped talking since I've sat down.
It's all right,
I'm so sorry.
This is what it's about.
All right, okay. Yeah. Okay.
We're going to go through every single year until we get to now. And then I'll ask you a question. but that was Arthur Smith stuff was when Arthur Smith like really burst through with those shows, especially Gary Lineker for the Live Bed Show as well. And it was, and you were on Whose Line Is It Anyway as well?
Briefly, yeah, I did a bit of that.
Yeah.
Thinking about it actually in a sort of linear fashion that, it suddenly feels like a very long and rather odd way to spend a life.
But I think people don't imagine there's, they think you've just appeared on TV and you've sort of come out of nowhere and they don't know there's all those years of working up to it.
No, that's right. Yes, I think people think you're sort of, you arrive in a sitcom or something and that's where you started your sort of working life, but they don't realise that maybe 10, 12 years before that you were, you know, Dorising around in a set of feathers at the end of a beer.
But that improv time must have been, because then that was the Comedy Store, the mid to late 80s, when it was sort of in its heyday as well.
Yeah.
And all those people you were working with as well. Astonishing, kind of Josie Lawrence and who were the guys who were.
Well, Jim Sweeney.
Yeah, fantastic.
Paul Merton, Josie Lawrence, Sandy Toksvig, Slattery, Mike McShane used to come over and do it.
Yeah, he's Canadian.
Is he? I couldn't quite remember actually. Andy Smart, Steve Steen, you know, Richard Branch, of course. Wonderful. If you're gonna do something really, really terrifyingly scary, they're the people to do it.
But
with.
That is a big deal to go and do, you know, improv is very hard.
Yeah.
And you're amongst fantastic people who are great at it. It must have been. Was it a safe environment? Did you feel like you could do anything?
I've never been as scared, actually. Never been as scared. I remember the first night I went on Slattery, Tony Slattery was on. I went, God, I think I'm gonna be sick, or I might actually shit myself. And he went, no, don't worry, because when you're this scared, peristalsis kicks in, and you won't. It's like, thanks, and then we were on. So yeah, it's absolutely terrifying, and remains terrifying, but kind of really exhilarating too, and slightly addictive.
Yeah. And you never did stand-up, though, because a lot of people came to improv via stand-up or, you know, that sort of...
I know I came via End of the Pier, really. Yeah.
Good.
I know, odd.
No, it's good. Well, I'm going to ask you some emergency questions.
Oh, good.
Before we move on...
All right.
...to the next section of your life. This is your life. Okay. Were you ever on This Is Your Life? You weren't, were you? Did they ever do This Is Your Life?
No. I went on for someone else. You know, I was a guest on it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's very fascinating watching those. Les was on This Is Your Life.
Was he?
Yeah, and you end up... It's such a weird picture of the time as well, because you obviously...
That 70s and 80s kind of weird.
Yeah, well, all the people, you know, it was... Yeah.
Yeah.
They're all on YouTube. It's worth having a look.
Really?
Yeah. It's sort of fascinating. They're sort of fascinatingly, like... Because they've got lots of family members in them as well.
Yeah.
So there's just loads of really awkward people really failing to tell a story. And it's like they're live, but I think some of them were live.
Yeah.
And just go, even like sometimes the professional people come and do something and go, what? Why is that going on telly?
But I remember... No, but the reason I think it was weird is because I remember going on... I went on Pam Ferris, who's a really wonderful actor, and she was doing Darling Buds of May at the time, and I was invited on as a guest, and it was the most deadly bloody atmosphere. It was like trying to have an enjoyable time in the back of a truck, you know, on its way through Poland or something. It was just really, it was hideous. There was no atmosphere, and it was awful.
Yeah.
Glad they stopped making it.
You've sensed as well, it's not necessarily their best friend, some of them.
No.
It's just who was
people
available
who would
to
turn
go
up, yeah.
All right, have you ever been in a police car, like for reals? I mean, not in
what, been arrested?
Yeah, or just been in a police car. You don't have to be arrested.
Oh, I've been in cop dramas. I've been in so many police cars as an actor, not as a villain.
Have you ever been? Because I was picked up when I had my mobile phone stolen and I had to drive around looking for the person who'd done it.
That's so not true, is it?
It is true. I had hit the moustache at the time. It was wonderful.
Did you really?
Yeah. It was for a show.
Oh, OK. Yeah. It wasn't real life. Yeah. Okay.
Size 13 feet Hitler has, by the way, if anyone was interested.
So you serious?
Yeah. Big shoes.
Yeah, big shoes to fill.
Big shoes. Small moustache. Yeah. That's what they say, small moustache, big shoes. I don't want to talk about your childhood a little bit, actually, before we get onto this, because you were at boarding, you were sent to boarding school, your dad was in the RAF.
Yeah.
And you were sent to boarding school, which I think is an unbelievably
it's horrible.
Cruel thing to happen, both directions. I know you've got kids now. The idea of sending your kids away...
Nothing on God's earth would... I mean, nothing would make me send my children to boarding school.
No.
I really like them.
Yeah.
And I really, having gone to the trouble of having them, I wanted to see them.
Yeah.
Very keen on spending time with my children. Yeah, always have been. And I wasn't sent away for any other reason than my parents really, their marriage was not nice. So it was for my own benefit. It was for my own benefit. And I know it was done out of love and kindness. I know it was. But it's bloody hard when you've just turned 10 and you're suddenly alone in the world. It's really odd.
Yeah, it's... I mean, you know, it's... I think, again, it's a generational... I mean, it still happens, obviously, now, but...
Yeah.
There was the feeling that you might be doing the right thing, but it seems impossible. And do you think that's... Again, I was talking last week about Robin Ince's book, but this... There ain't quite a lot of people whose family and the forces go into comedy. Because were you moving around a lot anyway as a kid,
No. My reasons are much more to do with the darkness.
Yeah.
I think rather than the moving.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in fairness, I didn't choose to go into comedy. Do you know what I mean? Anyway, I can't talk about this because that was last week's show. Okay. I just realised there's no point in me banging on about
it. You could have been here.
I could have. Actually, I was here.
Yeah.
I always go to all your shows.
Thank you.
You know that. I've never missed one. I've travelled around the country. And all your London shows I go to.
Thank you.
Boarding school. No, not for my children. Did you go?
No.
No, good. No. It's
no.
Good. Yeah.
But it's that kind of public school idea is people are very down on people going to public school. But it seems so horrible in so many ways, that lifestyle, that it seems so...
I think it's ghastly on just about every level. I mean, I think it is a sort of social engineering thing. And I think... the boarding school I was at, in fairness to my parents, I got a grant because I was a dancer. I mean, I was a sort of quite a precociously good dancer. Hard to imagine looking at me now, I know, but, I was reasonably good at it. And the school I went to was a place, it was a bit like the sort of Royal Ballet School. It was one of those kind of places. So yeah. I wasn't sent because, I was going to, meet all the right people or anything. I was there to, learn to dance, which is really painful and tiring, and to be lonely and cry. Come on, that's not true.
It's interesting. You've got older sisters, but they were quite a bit older as well. So
my sisters are all 9, 10, 12 years older than me.
Because I think, again, younger, I'm the youngest. I think a lot of younger kids, because you've got to make your mark by being entertaining to get your food.
It's really true, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's absolutely true. You have to charm your siblings so that you can manage to get...
Because my brother and sister are only like 5 and 6 years older than me, so I'm a little afterthought, but yours are like 10 or so years older than you.
Yeah, 9 years, I think, my next sister, yeah.
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 Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Thanks.
Cool. That's all right. So men behaving badly. It's quite interesting. Men behaving badly is... it's interesting that that show could exist. That you couldn't do that show with that title now. It would be a very different sitcom in the years of Me Too, men behaving badly. But it was very much of its time, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't hang around watching it very much. But what I remember of it was that, people always kind of talk about it because it was about the boys being badly behaved. But actually, my memory of it is the girls in the show being quite vocal and quite strong and quite forthright.
Yeah.
Although, of course, you couldn't make it now and you wouldn't make it now, but there was always that element to it. I think one always tried to redress the balance,
yeah.
You know, as a performer. I was always trying to get some, A, laughs for the yeah. girls, but B, also not let the boys be revolting and get away with it. And, you know, so, I mean, yeah, I don't know. It was very much of its time.
But it was a massive show, and it was very much the four of you. You know, that was that central half. So that is very progressive. I think you're right about the female characters in it were very strong. It sort of is. It's and they were charmingly idiotic. The guys.
Yes, and they still are.
Yeah,
they really are.
But what I find interesting, it was on ITV first of all. That's
with
a different
series
cast.
For ITV, and they. Sacked it off. I can't remember what they cancelled it or yeah. whatever. And Beryl Virtue, who's the producer, just, you know, half woman, half Jack Russell, she just went to the BBC and she stuck with it and she got it made. And Harry Enfield, who was in it and didn't want to do that sort of thing, really had all his own plans, you know, to go and do his own stuff. And we got Neil Morrissey to join us and it worked really well.
Yeah.
And we did it for years. I can't remember how many, but maybe seven or eight or nine, long time anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah. No, it was that kind of incredible big
people
show.
People have an enormous fondness for it. It's amazing. Yeah. It'd be nice to meet people, you know, of a certain age who literally kind of can quote bits of scenes and have fond memories of spending time with it. And yeah, it's a nice, people treat you nicely when you've made comedy shows.
Yeah.
You know, it's not when you go to foreign towns and things. People are always pleased to see you, and It's a good thing.
And it was massive. It was like 13. I mean, you wouldn't get those 13 or 14 million people.
No, I mean, you wouldn't get that now. Christmas, we got something like 17 million
right.
people watching
yeah.
telly. It's like no one will do that now.
Yeah.
No.
And Jonathan Creek as well, which I actually watched the whole of Jonathan Creek quite recently because it's all on Netflix. I think all except the very recent ones they've done. And your series are easily the best ones.
Thank you very
much. They are. But I think also, because I think both, it's such a lovely relationship between you and Alan
yeah.
Davis. And it's not conventional as well, especially now. You would never get two very nice and attractive but normal people, and neither of you are what would be on TV now, if you understand what I mean.
No, I absolutely
At the heart
yeah.
of something. And
yeah.
it's sort of a little bit of a love story, but not really. The sexual yeah. tension's there, but it's not a massive deal.
No.
And again,
it wasn't a will they, won't they sort of
no.
situation. It was about, well, I mean, it's about David Renwick's brilliant plots, actually,
yeah.
is what it was about. And Alan and I had really good chemistry, I think. You know, it was quite a good equal match.
Yeah,
you know, I think we
yeah.
were well matched as a sort of pair of actors. And they were good. I mean, they were, and also, I don't know, I mean, I don't know about how they do it now, but the production values were so good on those
yeah.
shows. They were, the care taken to do exactly what was written in the scripts was, second to none. It's beautiful. The production values were so beautiful.
Sure.
Verity Lambert.
Just because you went away to have a family, was the reason? Is that the reason that you weren't
yeah,
in relationship?
I went, I had my, oh God, I mean, I was pregnant during the filming of the last one I was in, and I was very pregnant, and I'd been filming with sort of big shoulder bags over, cause my character wasn't meant to be pregnant. I had shoulder bags and, you know, hiding behind hedges, and, you know, I was really, because I was big pregnant, and leading ponies across things. But and then my daughter came 10 weeks early, so I was filming with Lee Ingleby, actually. Do you know him? He's a wonderful actor. God, he's brilliant. Anyway, he was playing a villain, and he had a gun in my mouth, and he was pushing me down a hill, and I was trying to not be pregnant, and it was all shooting from funny angles and everything. And I went to bed that night after filming. I thought, I don't feel tip-top. I know I'm pregnant. It's very, very hot. And then in the morning, I had one scene to do, and I wasn't feeling well, and they... put me in a car to take me back to London. I think we were filming in, I don't know, somewhere like Coventry or something. It wasn't Coventry, I'm joking, I'm kidding. It was somewhere. And I got out of the car and I was living in the middle of London at the time, in Soho, and my waters broke.
Oh, my God.
And it was 10 weeks too early, and I thought, I'm gonna wet my pants, that's so embarrassing, I can't bear it. So I phoned my husband, I went, I think I've either wet my pants or my waters have broken. And he went, right, okay, I'm coming. So I went into the flat and I sat there thinking, God, this is really too early to have a baby. 10 weeks is very, very early. Yeah, have you had a premature baby?
No.
No, I mean, not you, obviously.
No.
It's just the way you're sitting. No, such a stupid thing to say, I can't believe I said it. Out loud. On the radio. Or on the pod? How do you say
podcast
it?
Podcast is fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
I said it on the pod. Anyway, my water broke. And then, so my husband, okay, who wasn't my husband then, he's my boyfriend, he said, right, come on, I've got to take you to the hospital. I said, okay, all right, let's do it. So we got in the car and he sat there and he went, I can't remember how to drive. So shocking. Then my daughter came.
Right.
So I had my tiny, tiny daughter. She was about 2.5 pounds. She was so small. So... Everyone's a critic. And then I went back and finished my filming.
God, no.
And then I lost a couple of babies. And then I wanted to concentrate on getting and having another baby because I really wanted another one. So I didn't do any more Jonathan Creeks. And they kind of moved on with the characters. And to be brutally honest with you, I've never watched one that I'm not in. I just don't really want to watch other people doing a show that I should be in.
No, well, that's understandable.
Really honest, I can't tell you. I don't like it. I'm not happy about it. And I never will be. What can I tell you? Furious. Absolutely furious.
And would they have you back? Could you go back?
Listen, if they'd asked me, I'd go back at the drop of a hat. Yeah. But they've never asked me. I don't know why.
Idiots.
Bastards. I think you're right. It's too silly of them, isn't it, really?
It is silly of them.
Yeah. It's sexism. It's sexism. But they do employ women, though.
Well, it's fantastic. It's worth watching if it's still all up. It was all on Netflix at least a few months ago. I know.
They're beautifully
It's
made,
really
beautiful.
Yeah, and it's, it is.
They've got great actors in, too.
Yeah.
You see really, really good actors doing great acting in it.
And it's, well, I mean, I suppose, do they make things like this anymore? They still make it occasionally? But...
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's quite difficult. Like, yeah, all about even things like that are quite sort of that sort of genre, but they're not that funny, are they?
No, and they're not. It's a different thing every... It's a different cast and a different... I mean,
yes, that's
you know,
right,
different
yeah.
location every time.
Yeah.
So it's a lot. It's a very expensive programme to make.
They still make it, though, I think.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
They're like one...
I'm not in it anymore.
No, I've noticed.
They still make it.
I've noticed.
I don't know why. It's a waste of money.
So, and you were, when you go abroad, do you get recognised from being in, you were a traffic warden in Mr. Bean, do you remember that? when you go to Albania?
But, do you know, I don't think, of course I remember it. And my children, when they first saw it, when they were little, and they were so thrilled that I was, you know, the kids, they love it. But no, I've never been recognised for that traffic warden work.
I'd just like to think you could dine out around the world.
Yeah.
You'd go anywhere in the world.
Listen, I'm going to give it a go.
Because, you know, that's loved around the world, isn't it?
Maybe I need to wear a hat more.
Is that... Dress
do they
as
wear hats?
You must have had a... What, you were a traffic warden.
Yeah, they have hats, don't they?
They do have hats.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare coverage at UH1.com. That's UH1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen,
premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
World's ugliest pets. That's mainly what I've got you on to talk about.
Yeah, you've got a dog, haven't you?
I've got a dog. She's very beautiful, though. She would not be on
Everyone
your show.
Everyone thinks their dog's beautiful.
My dog is beautiful. I love her we'll more than I love my children.
Do you?
No. Quite close, though.
Yeah. No, I know. I've got four dogs and two children. What does that tell you?
So how did you feel when you got the world's ugliest dog's job?
It was the world's ugliest pet.
Sorry.
And they took me all over the world to meet some really strange animals. Hairless things, lots of hairless things. People like that. People quite, if they have allergies or they dislike hairless things, they have hairless guinea pigs or rats or things like that. Dogs, you know, dogs that, you know, their bottom jaw comes up higher than their eyebrows, things like that. I can't really remember much about it. Can you tell? I have four beautiful dogs. I can't remember. Yeah, it was good.
It was an excellent job. I thought we'd talk about that for ages.
Oh, sorry, darling. I can't remember. No. Remind me.
It's near. It was only like last year or something you were doing that.
Yeah, well, there you are. It's a long time.
Can you remember getting to number 25 in the pop music charts?
Who would forget it? I thought it was 14.
Well, not according to Wikipedia.
The internet. Yes, Leslie Ash and I did... I can't remember the name of the song now. You got it written down?
I didn't write it down. I'm going to see if I'm going to remember it. I can't remember it. We could look at... It's what?
Tell him! That's it, yes.
I'm trying to tell him.
Tell him.
Tell him what it's called. Oh, tell him.
Yeah.
Can you sing it for us now?
Yes.
Okay.
Know something about love, you've got to want it bad. If you something above, go out and get him. If you want him to be always by your side, if you want him to be, swallow your foolish pride. Tell him that you're never gonna leave him. Tell him that you're always gonna love him. Tell him, tell him, tell him, tell him right now. And the second verse.
I mean, I'm slightly upset that my singing the theme to Dream Stuffing did not get a round of applause. Slightly offended by that. How did that only get to 25?
It's ludicrous, isn't it?
Was it Leslie Ash messing it up?
Yes. Yeah. She's a really good singer.
Yeah.
She's a really good singer, actually.
Right, I'm going to ask you some more emergency questions. I'm going to ask you some Christmas emergency questions.
Excellent.
Because it's nearly Christmas.
Is it?
It will be by the time.
It will be by the time.
Will it? Where does this go out?
God knows. Okay. I've got so many of these in the bag, it's insane. I mean, I might very well be dead, and I'm still it's going out. Has anyone? No, I'm not saying.
Yes, they have.
What was the worst thing that a relative bought you something for Christmas that wasn't quite what you wanted, but you had to pretend to like it anyway?
When I was married to Paul Merton, which I was, he bought me a foot spa.
Not impressed?
Do you know, now, now in my latter years,
yeah.
And actually, even at the time, probably, I probably really wanted it.
Yeah.
But because I was only in my 20s or something... I felt it should be sort of, I don't know, sexy underwear or something.
Yeah.
I didn't want it to be a foot spa. Now, I wish I'd kept it.
Yeah.
Because I could use it now.
I'll get you a foot spa.
You say that.
Well, I'll get it for you. I'm going to get it sent to you for your birthday.
It's 11th of July.
I know.
Oh, yeah, you know.
I'm going to go on Amazon after the show, on the drive home, and I know where to send it.
I'm going to hold you to this.
I'm going to send it. It's going to be the best foot spa you've ever had.
What do you
had.
Want for your birthday on the 12th?
I've got everything. I don't want a foot
you've
spa.
You've got everything.
I've got everything I want.
You've got another dog. Dogs are
always No, one's enough.
Okay. Babysitter.
Babysitter, yeah.
I'll do babysitting.
You can have my
children.
You can take my children.
Oh, lovely. No, I'd love that. I like children.
It's okay to like children. It's okay. That's okay. We live in a world now where even saying I like children. Whoop.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh, I see.
Got a rum. We got a rum one here, like it's someone working in show business. If Caroline Quentin turns out to be a wrong'un, I'm going to be very surprised. That's going to really dampen my respect for the world. Okay, that was good. Good.
Thank you.
Do you think Noel Edmonds has ever spent a Christmas alone?
No, I don't think he has.
No. I think there's always been somewhere there. But I think he did those shows. I think he would have been alone if he hadn't been doing those Christmas present shows.
Do you?
Yeah. Why would he work on Christmas Day every year? That's weird, isn't it?
Were they live then?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think, weren't they? Noel's Christmas presents. Yeah. My sister used to love those.
Did she?
Yeah, she's very...
It was a different time, wasn't
it? Was.
It? What do they put on telly on Christmas now? Is it always Doctor Who?
They don't bother putting anything on. No one's watching. No one. No, you you don't put the telly on anymore, do you?
No, no.
I might watch.
I watch the rugby.
Yeah.
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 Just the rugby.
Yeah.
And maybe Gardener's World.
What kind of animal do you think the Teletubbies are?
I feel like crying you asked me that question. It's such an innocent, beautiful question. I was listening to your warm-up.
You
I think they're a sort of... I think they're a bear person, Ariel.
It's sort of weird that they... I was watching it the other day. It's sort of weird that... I mean, it's weird in a lot of ways. There's so many weird shows and so many ways. But it's weird that they still exist because they're so based on this old technology of aerial, you know, like of a TV aerial and a TV even. Like, I mean, the TVs still make sense, but it doesn't... To a kid, it must be so confusing. Cause
they still put it on the telly?
Yeah, it's on all the time.
Do children like it?
My daughter sort of was
bit riveting.
Curious about it. My son likes it. They've now got the Teletubbies, have now got... Baby Teletubbies.
That's wrong.
Which is really wrong, because surely the Teletubbies are babies, right?
Yeah.
That's the whole point. Hello, bye-bye. They all talk like babies.
Say?
And they've got little baby Teletubbies.
No.
Have you seen it? You've got to watch the Teletubbies.
Disgraceful.
There's Moon and Me. You've got to watch Moon and Me. Is anyone's... No, fuck, man. This is the scariest programme. It's on about 6 o'clock, just at the bedtime. And it's... Oh, man.
What
so all these toys come to life, but there's one that is like a clown thing.
Oh.
And it's got... Someone put this on Twitter, I can't remember who, but their eyes are like anuses. and there was a...
anus.
There was a bit, it's called Collywobble. It's like something Rhys Shearsmith has created, I'm not kidding. It comes alive. And there was literally... Collywobble. A moon baby comes from the moon. And brings them all to life, which is scary, and its head glows. It's terrifying. And then there was just a scene where Collywobble was leaving town, and it just had her walking down a road for a minute. Nothing happened. Just walking, despite behind a hill. Nothing happened. Then it appeared behind the hill, and literally 3 minutes of airtime, Collywobble just silently walking away from wherever the fuck they were. I was so terrified. And that, they're all terrified. Every single one of them is... It's the most scary thing I've ever seen.
That's really sinister.
They're all pretty scary.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's good. Do you remember stuff from kids, from kids' TV that was scary? And things like... I mean, from when I was a kid. I mean, there's Zelda from the What's-Her-Face.
Bagpuss.
Bagpuss. Bagpuss was sort of... Nah. Hector's House was quite scary. Do you remember Hector's House?
Yeah, I do.
But I like... Mr. Nosybonk was a very from Jigsaw.
I remember that.
That was Jigsaw. Janet Ellis was in it.
Oh, no, see, I was at school by
yeah.
then.
Yeah.
Grotbags.
Grotbags wasn't not scary. No. And there were so many. Jimmy Savile would be a good. It was pretty scary.
Only if you were there.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the joke. good. I'm very good. I'm going to ask you about... Just going to check what I've got here. What does that say?
I don't know.
Oh, it's about... It says Dennis Hound, and I was trying to work out who that was, but it's Les Dennis and Rufus Hound.
Rufus Hound, very good, yeah.
So, who's Dennis Hound?
I don't know.
He'd be worth finding out.
I like the
sound of him. I'm going to ask another emergency question.
Okay.
Oh, this is an interesting... So let's see where we go with this. What's the most pretentious book you've ever bought but never read?
À la recherche de temps perdu by Marcel Proust.
Have you, did you buy that?
Yes, I did.
Wow.
There, I've said.
What, all, every, it's like nine volumes long, isn't it?
It's as thick just... as a step. it's like that. And actually, I did read the first page and think, oh, this is quite enjoyable, but oddly never picked it up again.
No.
So not that enjoyable.
That's the same with James, Portrait of an Artist as a Young Man, or whatever it's called, James Joyce. Have you read that? Is that what it's
Henry
called?
James.
Henry James. No, is it Henry James? No, I'm thinking of something by James Joyce. What was that called? Well, there's all sorts of shit in there. I mean, I definitely haven't read it. That's what I'm saying. I've got it, but I think both of those things I've read.
That is the most pretentious book. Because when other people were at university and things, I was shuffle, hop, step, ball changing behind Bernie Clifton.
But then that's quite.
I know where I'd rather be.
That's quite a bold choice to buy. Was it because of the Monty Python sketch about summarising Proust? All I know about Proust is from the Monty Python sketch. And that he likes Madeleine biscuits, that's it. That's
I love Madeleine. Yeah. Have you ever had one? They're delicious.
I think they're
vanilla flavoured.
Yeah. You've got to eat them when you... Little callback to backstage. You've got to eat them when you're a child and then remember them. And
I like that. I will read it one day.
Yeah.
I will read it one day.
You don't need to. You eat a Madeleine biscuit and remember when you were young. That's all you've got to do.
Okay.
That's all it's about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
Idiot.
I'll read something else.
Yeah. Read some Dan Brown. He's good. See a page turner, that guy. I've already asked you that question backstage. If you had to put everyone called Smith in a league table based on their worth, who would be A, the best Smith, B, the median Smith, and C, the worst Smith? Only answers when you can give a name for all three Smiths.
Okay, Arthur Smith is my top Smith.
He is great.
My second Smith is Bessie Smith, the singer. The worst Smith. Is going to be who's a nasty Smith?
Mike Smith.
Who's Mike Smith?
Morrissey.
Is he
from the Smiths?
Yeah, I'll take that. Yeah.
Morrissey's good.
Morrissey's the worst Smith. Good. Thank you. Thank you, that lady.
And I've got to ask a few classic emergency questions just for the audience who live out here away from London.
Yes. I live away from
him. I know, so do I. if you were going to be in a human centipede, you're going to be...
What?
You don't have to answer this question.
Do you know
what a human centipede is? Have you seen the film The Human Centipede?
No, I don't know what that is.
Okay, I had to explain it to Dawn French as well. It's quite a lot I have to explain. There's a film called The Human Centipede. It's about a mad scientist who... I've never seen it, but I'm aware of the plot. He gets three young people and he stitches them together in quite an unusual and unpleasant way.
Okay, hang on.
So they resemble a centipede. I think I just... Because there's more unpleasant ways to think of than this, but it's mouth to bottom. They're stitched together. And I want you to be placed in a human centipede, but you get to choose.
Mouth to bottom?
Yeah, you get to choose the two people who are either... You're in the middle. You're going to be stitched there, and your bottom, in turn, will be stitched to someone else.
Yeah.
It's good that... And this is the sign of a great actor getting into character.
I have to choose who's behind and who's in front.
Yeah, you can choose anyone in behind and in front.
Okay, in front... Oh, God, I feel sick. That's really... Oh. God, okay. All right, in front is, God, okay. It's really difficult, this, isn't it?
It is, they're very difficult.
And it's not likely to happen, is it? We don't know.
If I've guessed right, we've got the two people backstage. And we'll do it.
In that case, bring on Johnny Depp and Steve Martin.
Do you like to be Steve Martin behind you? That seems unfair on Steve Martin. I'm guessing
I'm having Johnny Steve Depp. Martin. I'm just having Steve Martin up front.
Up front, Johnny Depp behind. That makes more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get that now. That's very good.
Now it all makes sense.
Now it all begins to make sense. So what happens after the provoked wife?
The provoked wife? I don't know.
No?
No, just the way I've never known. I never know what's going to come next. It's the life of an actor.
You
don't know what you're going to do. So I finish on September the 8th. I'm doing a little episode of Doc Martin in a couple of weeks with my friend Martin Clunes, who really only gets me in so that we can muck about together. It's so kind of him. I play this vet, and I turn up once every series. And But this time in a really crack it. Can I say this? When's this going? Oh, it doesn't really matter. Say it. Okay, so I play this vet. And do you know who Martin Clunes is? You're so young.
I think they know. I mean, it'd be lovely if they didn't know who Martin Clunes is. Imagine that.
Okay, so Martin Clunes and I used to do a sitcom that we talked about earlier. And we're really, really good friends in real life. But we've got to do this scene. He plays a doctor and I go to him and I say, Doctor, I found a lump in my breast. And he's got, I'm dreading this. I've got a film in next week. He's got to give me a breast exam. I can't tell you. I'm hot with embarrassment even now just thinking about it. What? I can't bear the idea of it. I mean, I know it's not going to be real. He's not really going to do it. I mean, the camera will be set in a certain way and everything. But how are we going to get through that?
Why have they written that for you? That is just that.
I think it's Julian Unthanks, the author. I think he just thought, what's the most ludicrous, uncomfortable thing I can do to these two actors?
Yeah.
And that's it. It's a bit like asking your mum and dad to do that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's weird.
Yeah.
It'll be funny, though.
It will be good. We'll look out for it. I wonder how many takes that all take and whether... Do they do It'll Be All Right on the night? Because that's... You can get 200.
I don't know if they still do,
you can get 250 quid every
might,
time
you'll
they
right
show.
And all left on the night as well, perhaps. Yeah. Thank you very much.
But you know, that's it's. I mean, because I was on TV in the 1990s as well. It feels like a long time ago, but it's gone so fast, hasn't it? That 19 years since the year 2000. You had a kid in 2000. Your first kid in 2000.
Did I? Or 1999. Yeah, that's right. And she's nearly 20.
Yeah.
And my boy's 16. Yeah. So it has gone. What sort of fast? I don't know. People say that. It's gone about the right tempo. I think it's gone about the right tempo.
For me, maybe it's because I've just had my kids at the end of it. That.
How old were you when you had your first one?
Like 48.
Yeah. That, you see, that's. I mean, I was old, but I was 30. Eight. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's different, and it's different. You're an old father.
I feel like a big 20 years of my life has just been... You know that experiment where the guy sucked out someone's hypothalamus to see whether that would cure epilepsy? Do you hear about it? And it doesn't. It makes you forget everything.
Really?
It's basically where... I can't remember this long-term... It's some short-term, very important memories that basically can't remember anything... that's just happened, I think, or something like that. But I feel like a big chunk of my life just disappeared. I can't work out how I've got 52.
No, I think that's because you're tired. I think when you have young children, you're really tired.
Yeah.
And you can't remember anything. But it'll all come back to you.
And you think?
There'll be pictures on your phone and stuff.
Yeah. I've left it too late, though. You know, by the time it's over... My kids stay at home till they're 30 now.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be around, am I? I don't want to be around that long. Death will be a blessed release.
we both upset all our children.
I know, no. My kids won't listen to this.
No.
Only I'm going to say they have to listen to all the podcasts and read all my blogs that I wrote about, and they'll go, oh God, he was horrible. He's so horrible.
Horrible man.
Horrible. That's all our memory. How'd you feel about getting older, Caroline? There was an article I said that something you're galloping towards your 60s, an article, which seemed like incredibly
weird. My birthday, as you know, is on the 11th of July. I'm looking forward to my foot spa.
Yeah.
And I don't care. I'm happy. I'm absolutely cool about it. I genuinely am loving it all. We're having a really good time. Feel probably happier now than I just like it. I like being the age I am. I'm having a really nice time. I'm very lucky. I get to work with loads of young people, and it's great. It's funny and nice, and they're very kind to me. And when I can't remember my lines, they whisper things in my ear on stage and stuff. It's good. I don't mind. It's pretty good from where I'm standing.
It's sort of nice still to be here, right?
That's the alternative, not to be here. Truthfully, it's really nice to be here and you know, feel all right, quite well and happy and... You know, doing new and interesting things, doing my first podcast.
Yes.
You know, it's good.
Yeah. Do you remember in about the year, it might have been the late 90s, if you were at a party at the Balham Banana, the Bedford in Balham.
With Arthur,
Arthur would be there. Terry Johnson, the playwright, was there.
Yes,
who used to live in the flat above me in Balham.
Did he?
And Peter Bainham.
the comedy writer who went to LA and is a big success in LA, bet me £100 that I wouldn't. They were doing karaoke, and he said, "I bet you won't sing Bohemian Rhapsody." And he said, I said, "I'd do it for £100," and it was really difficult. And then you came. I think you came up on stage and did the things behind me. Do you remember that?
Did I do it to help you out?
Yeah, you were being nice because I was dying on my ass.
Yeah, I do that all the time.
Yeah. Peter Bainham never gave me the £100.
Did he not? No. That's disgraceful. I do remember it, actually.
Yeah.
But they were quite fun.
It was fun, though, yeah. It was nice.
Yeah.
That was the last time I saw you.
Yeah, I'm not a man.
And that 20 years just went bang.
Yeah.
Bang.
Yeah. Is this a real life?
Should we do it now? No. I think you're a better singer than I am. Well, look. Yes, we've got... I think we've got time for maybe one more emergency question.
Okay.
And I'm going to go from the front of the book where the popular crowd-pleasing questions will be. Okay, this is a good one. Have you ever seen a ghost, Caroline Quentin? It'll be good if you have.
I haven't seen one, oh. But I have. When I was about 12 years old, I stayed at my sister's cottage in Sussex. Oh, it was terrifying. It was so frightening. My bed... I was in a metal bed in this cottage, and my bed shot. I was in the bed, and the bed shot across the room with me going like that, and then shot back again. And then I tried to open the door, and I couldn't. I don't know if this is I was too nervous or something, but I couldn't. I could hardly breathe. So I haven't seen a ghost, but I have been moved by a ghost.
It's been flung around.
I've been shunted across a room by a ghost. There was definitely something in the room. It moved me across the room. It was terrifying, and I never went back upstairs in that house ever again. My sister lived there for years and I never went back upstairs. It was terrifying. It was terrifying.
Did anyone else in the house...
My sister and her then girlfriend said there was an old lady who used to sit down by the fire and you used to smell ham cooking when you went down some mornings, and they were both vegetarians, so it wasn't then, but you would smell ham cooking. It was most very, very old cottage.
Wow.
And weird. So... I haven't seen one, no, sorry.
I mean, that's better than seeing one, isn't it?
Yeah, it was terrifying.
Chucked around by one.
It was honestly terrifying.
By a ham-eating old woman.
You didn't expect that.
I didn't expect that. That was a fantastic question to end on. Ladies and gentlemen, give a massive round of applause, Caroline Quentin! Thank you so much. You have been listening to Rollerstabar with me, Rich Herring, and my guest, Caroline Quentin. We are very happy to thank the wonderful band who are called Pest, who give us the theme music to this show. Thank you also to everyone at the Warwick Arts Centre for being so welcoming. Thank you to everyone at GoFaster Stripe. Everyone at all your audio platforms where you download this podcast. Without them, we'd be nothing. I'm indebted to my executive producer, Michael Hudson, and also to my regular producer, James Hingley, and also, I guess, Ben Walker. Why not? Fuck him. This is a GoFasterStripe.com Sky Potato and Fuzz production. Go to rahalastapa.co.uk to become a member, a badger, and get all lots of stuff like backstage videos and a membership card. It's all pretty cool, my friend. rahalastapa.co.uk. You'll find out all the details there and lots of other stuff too. I love you. Bye.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.